You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Rob, do you notice anything about my voice? Any difference?
No, it sounds exactly the same as it normally does.
Does it really?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got a bit of a sinus thing going on, you know, like cold.
I think it sounds better on the microphone, though.
Do you like me being sick? It sounds better.
It's a little like grizzly, a little more manly.
Grizzly, a little more manly? Do I need to be more manly?
I mean, you could always be a little more manly.
By the way, have you tried the wine yet?
No, you haven't given me any of it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to.
No, that's fine. I won't try it then.
No, but last chance to get the wine at Knocking Point. Tom Welling and I collaborated. It's called Pure Evil Wines. It's a picture of me and him. We have two bottles of wine. It's part of a subscription at knockingpoint.com if you want to check it out. They're pretty cool little collector's items.
Your blood, sweat, and tears are in that bottle, right?
We tasted a lot of tastings, and I'm not a big wine drinker. And we did a lot of tastings together, Tom and I. Got a little tipsy a few times together. We picked out the label together. We came up with the name, all that stuff. So it was really cool, and it's an original. And go to knockingpoint.com. Stephen Amell produced it with us from Arrow. And thank you, Stephen, for helping us out with this. We, you know, it's pretty cool to have your own wine. I like it. It's neat. You know who our guest is today?
It's Felicia Day.
That's true. Felicia Day, you might have seen her on. She's been in lots of stuff. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Supernatural, Bring It On Again. Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which was a huge thing.
She's got a show called The Guild.
Yep, she's got a show called The Guild. She's, you know, what I like about her, she's so honest and open. She gets a little annoyed with me for a second, which we talk about. You'll listen to it.
You don't even have to say that. I think most people.
Well, I think sometimes I might ask the wrong thing. I don't mean to, but, you know, I didn't know that something was sensitive. But she's very open. She talks about, having, what was it?
Crippling anxiety.
Crippling anxiety. Which was, I think we could relate to. Do you ever get anxiety, Rob?
Here and there. It's getting better.
Is it getting better? Because you're working a lot more now, I notice.
Yeah.
Inside of You is brought to you by Sleep Number. Rob, I just had neck surgery.
I feel like you're always having surgeries.
Well, I've had a lot because I played a lot of sports growing up, and a lot of it I regret. But I had a lot of fun. But now I'm 46 and I just had neck surgery. So
you're really paying for it.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I'm always getting massage chairs. I'm always getting things for my back, for my neck. And I got to tell you, the best thing I've ever gotten was a Sleep Number bed. And I'm going to tell you why.
Well, you spend a lot of time in bed after these surgeries, don't you?
Well, I like to take naps. I'm at the age where I nap. Do you nap?
No, I do not nap.
Why are you laughing? Are you napping? Are you laughing at how I say nap?
No, just that you're at the age where you nap. It sounds like you think you're 70 years old.
Well, you know, but I am. I feel like it. My body does. And that's why rest is so important for me. But like the Sleep Number bed for me, they got this new bed that I got. It's just, it's pretty incredible because my Sleep Number setting was like a 60 or even sometimes a 35 if I want to sleep on a cloud. But now with the neck surgery, I need it at 100. I need a stiffy. I need a nice, comfortable level bed that's just going to support my neck injury, and I'll tell you what, it's been helping. Last night I had a great night's sleep. I think it's pretty fantastic. The new Sleep Number 360, they're really smart. They sense your every move and automatically adjust to you in the middle of the night, keeping you comfy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, and they were ranked highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power and Associates.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if it's one thing I preach, it's this bed. It's saving me.
Come in during the January savings event and save up to $500 on a select Sleep Number 360 smart bed.
Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide.
Visit sleepnumber.com/inside to find the one nearest you. That's sleepnumber.com/inside.
Let's get inside of Felicia Day.
It's my point of view. Listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
That's really cool.
Inside of You sign.
That's really
we don't
great.
Turn it on. I think when they made it, it was only $1,400, and the lights too
Who made
bright.
It?
Oh my
god! Oh, it's way too bright.
See, why do they do that? I can't even use it because it blinds people.
It's really nice though. Who made that?
Rob found a guy.
I got a guy.
I was like, "This is awesome." Can't use it. Too bright.
Can't you turn the neon down?
What's that?
Can't you turn the neon down?
No, you can't turn
down?
The neon down.
It was fun when we recorded upstairs.
Boring. Boring talk about the neon sign. No, I'm kidding.
Jesus, people are going to eat anything you say up.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Do you listen to the podcast?
I've listened to one episode. That's why I did it. I forget who it was. Was it
Zach Levi, maybe?
Yes, that was it. Zach. It was Zach.
Yeah.
Of course.
He cried. Are you going to cry on this podcast?
No, I didn't listen to that much of it.
Really? Well, you should have, because it talks about real stuff. You don't like real stuff?
That's fine.
You seem like the kind of person... By the way, thank you, Felicia Day, for allowing me to be inside of you today.
Are we recording already?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. That was a better... If I'm going to be on camera, quote-unquote, or audio camera.
I mean, audio.
I just want to make sure I get a good puke in there.
What's that making? Can you really do a... I'm sure with all the voice work you've done, you could actually do a real sound of throwing up.
No,
but we're going to make our guests, our listeners, barf if we do that.
Yeah, you would. I had to pretend to barf on a show one time, and then I didn't. By the end, you just almost throw up, yeah.
Yeah. I really try to, like, there's times where I'm trying to cough up water or doing something in a scene, and it always just makes me. I have a strong gag reflex.
You do? It's good to know about you.
Well, it means that when I say I have a strong gag reflex, it means
you suck a lot of dick.
No.
It just means that if you were to suck a dick, you might throw up.
So in other words, strong gag reflex means the opposite. It means like if I put a... Are you putting... Talking about dicks?
No.
I'm just going off Rob.
Are we already getting into
dicks? My best friend.
I'm just saying that if you put anything, a Vlasic baby pickle in my throat, I'm gagging. That's a strong gag reflex,
right? Is
that your
Saturday night?
Yeah. It sounds like you want to see a weak gag reflex.
A weak gag freak. You are weak in that you have a strong gag reflex, in that you will gag on anything.
Thank you, Rob, who misinterpreted it.
Sorry.
God, always looking for a jab. This is Rob, my producer. He's 29, has a kid. He's married.
30.
You're 30 now?
30 now.
Did you give him a birthday party?
He did not.
I wasn't
in
town.
He didn't even come to my birthday.
I wasn't in town.
Did you give him a birthday present?
I think I always give you presents.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I do.
What did you give me?
Wow. I'm sorry.
What did you get me, Rob? I always get you shit.
Am I breaking you up guys up now?
Yeah.
I just walk in and I break this relationship up?
Well.
Let's go start a podcast.
I have one in my office. I do. Well, and it's really
Rob,
it's probably
lo-fi.
And,
yeah, you have a podcast, right?
I started one earlier this year, but I promise.
Oh, yeah. I listened to one. I can't remember who I listened to, though.
Nobody's on it. Every week I promise I'm going to do an interview. And I did not get my crap together to get an interview. And all I do is complain about being tired.
You know what? Felicia Day, I'm just going to say, I looked you up. I kind of know who you are. But it's like you do so much shit. Like you do, not shit, like bad stuff. You do so much that it overwhelms me.
No, I know. It overwhelms me,
well,
too.
Why do you, like, you're not only an actress, you're not only a producer and a YouTuber and a gamer and a voice actress and a... I mean, you play the violin. You could have gone to Juilliard. I mean, it's just too much. It overwhelms me.
Too much.
You're too talented.
No.
And I think, you know, this is usually, it becomes a therapy session. If you don't know her, look up her work. She's pretty dynamic. She's hilarious. I've seen some of your videos where you interview yourself about your new book.
That was pretty good. That was a good video.
That was pretty good where you're playing the host, interviewing yourself.
That was good.
That was really good.
That was one of my favorite videos of that, whatever that was.
Yeah, and I think you're really talented, and I just think you're wearing yourself too thin.
I think people have told me that for decades, even though I haven't been doing this for decades. I've been doing this for a little bit over a decade, and everyone's concerned for my health, including me. And now I have a baby, and this baby is causing everything to crumble. I will never be an overachiever again, I promise you.
Really?
I'm just going to barely make it through life.
You're doing what my mother never did. You're making the child the center of attention.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is this like a thing that you have?
Well, I was never the center of attention. My mother had kids. When you get married and you have children, they must, in order for their developmental, healthiness,
mm-hmm.
they need to be the focus. They need to...
Mother and the father.
And the father. And I felt like my mother just had arrested development. She has arrested development. So she couldn't... She didn't want to grow up. She still wanted to be the center of attention. And here we are trying to grow up with a mother who just wasn't giving us that attention.
What about your dad?
I love her. My father was always working. He was insanely...
But
driven.
That's a choice, too.
But he never was late to work, never late to anything, which rubs off on me. Like, I'm always early to everything, which pisses me off because you're probably late to things.
I'm never late to anything.
Are you never late to
I'm
anything?
I'm always 10 minutes early. I was only 2 minutes late here because somebody was in front of me.
You were only
me.
2 minutes late?
Yeah, I was 2 minutes late.
I didn't even know you were late.
I was 2 minutes late, and I will always remember that.
That's good.
Can we talk about how you cut your dad slack? Because he made the choice.
This is not a woman man thing.
No, I think it's interesting because psychologically, I think we do. You know, mom did all these things and didn't make time for me, but then dad worked all the time. Well, that's a choice as well to work all the time.
You don't let me get into dad. Dad and I have not had a healthy relationship almost my entire life, except he just turned over a new leaf. My grandfather has Alzheimer's.
Oh, no.
And I think he's starting to. I wrote him a letter. And for the first time, I feel like he's making a real effort, like a real effort since it's been many years. And it's nice to see. It's better than the old him. And
your mom does not do that. She would never be like, they're divorced. I'm culpable. Well, but separately.
I think they're both. It's that's just another beast. We're going to get into you. What about your family? What about your folks? Were you probably had incredibly supportive folks?
No, I mean, I have a very dysfunctional childhood, and I was homeschooled, but it was kind of like sequestered in isolation. My dad worked. I never saw him because he was a medical student. They had me when they were like 20, and so they were just kids.
Where are you from?
Alabama,
Huntsville. I played hockey there once.
You did.
Yeah.
It was they were young and they were struggling. We never had any money. I had everything from Goodwill, and all our money went to us doing lessons. And we were homeschooled because we were not in the places that had any good schools, and we couldn't afford the private school. And my mom was very, you know, she was very well intentioned, but she's very much a free spirit and didn't really apply herself to schooling us. So we kind of just didn't do anything, but I kind of think that's okay. We were kind of unschooled.
Were you just running around with no shirts on and just free and naked?
No.
Woodstock,
I mean,
thing?
I would pay the bills. I would cook.
Were you when you were paying the bills?
Like 8.
8 years old, you're signing checks.
Yeah, I was. I'm not kidding.
So you grew up really fast.
I did. Well, I was the responsible one, you know, but not socially. I was always socially awkward.
But they did not take care of you?
She took care of me. It's just I was kind of the mom more a little bit because she's very young. Like a psychic once told me that, oh, you're the old spirit and your mother's the child.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. But, you know, she did her best and all our money went to lessons. So I had this weird kind of like I have all these random skills because I didn't do anything. I didn't go to school. So I just took lessons and I did community theater and I just studied
piano.
Violin. I never did piano because my brother did piano. I always wanted to do piano, but I did violin and I did dancing.
Do you still play violin?
Rarely. Now that I have a baby, I kind of play ukulele for her and I want to play violin for her too because I'd like her to learn how to play piano because I think it's more useful. It's way better at parties to have piano skills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't break out your violin. There's nobody's like, hey, great, she's getting her violin out. I kind of wince when a man gets a guitar out at a party. I'm like, please don't. But at least, you know, there is a skill level there that people will enjoy.
Rob, can you hand my guitar, please?
Are you going to start strumming?
Get me the Gibson.
That's Michael's move.
Get me the Gibson, please.
Is it? Yeah, half the time, I just think it's like a reflexive thing that a 20-year-old does to get laid.
No. See, here's the reality.
But you really want to share your art.
No. I don't do that at parties. I don't grab a guitar. Now, if everybody else is playing, then I'll maybe join in every once in a while.
Yeah,
of course. I'm not great, but I don't just go, hey, guys. But I love music. I just cannot stop getting, there's always a song in my head.
When did you learn how to play?
I really still have it. I mean, look, I play upside down and backwards, which means if you're playing.
Are you left-handed?
You know, my friend was playing guitar in college. My best friend of 33 years, Tom Lally. I love you, Tom. And he brought a guitar home and he's like, almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountain, you know, John Denver.
Beautiful.
And I was like, oh, cool. Let me play that. He goes, well, you can't. You're holding it wrong. You're upside down. I go, I know, but like, what's a G? So I flip it over. He'd show me a G. I'd flip it back to the way I'm comfortable with it. I'd play upside down and backwards. And that's just how I learned, which was not the right way. But
there's no right or wrong.
I guess not. But it's hard learning chords and things and following. So I always used to just like by ear and like learn on my own. And so like a year and a half ago, we sort of got a band together writing music and playing. And so
I
love
to see
it.
You.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometime. Yeah,
we
have
an
album. I'm not a great singer. You're probably like a great singer, right?
I mean, I do opera, which is, again, not a useful skill.
If you could sing opera, you're a good singer.
I could sing, but not cool. I'm not cool. I went to a hip hop class one time. I was an embarrassment.
Can you sing me any opera right now?
Ave Maria, something in Latin. Oh. Anyway, yes.
Fuck.
I can do that,
off.
Which is not useful. Nobody wants that.
La donna mobile, qual vivanchanto. But that's really like you didn't even warm up. You didn't. You just immediately went into the softest, sweetest, angelic voice.
Yeah, but what do you do with that? Nothing. Nobody wants it.
What do you mean
it.
You don't do it?
Sing
you
at parties.
Nobody. I'll be
write
like,
music.
Excuse me. I would like to sing a little bit of Joan Baez for you. I'm a crazy partier.
Who are your favorite singers growing up, or favorite musicians?
Wow, that's a good question.
Pavarotti?
No, I loved...
Is it Pavarotti or Pavarazzi?
I love Kathleen Battle. She's a very high coloratura soprano, and she will break the glasses. I really loved Paramore.
Paramore.
What's her name?
Haley.
Haley.
Oh, yeah. I know that band.
That's my favorite. I think she's the best rock.
Yeah.
And the Pretenders, Chrissy Hynde.
Oh, yeah. What's your favorite Pretenders song?
I don't know.
Don't get me
I mean, that's some low-hanging fruit, but yeah, it's a good song.
Whatever, Trevor. All right. So you're back in Huntsville, Alabama. You're signing checks at 8. Your dad's a workaholic. Do you think it affected you? If you look at your life now, is there sort of this parallel that, look, I was already grown up then, and that's why I'm always busy. That's why I'm in charge of everything. Are you a micromanager?
I used to be. I kind of broke myself of that. I think once you have a baby, you're going to understand.
I have a baby upstairs, Blanche.
It's
a 9-week-old dog that shits everywhere.
I know. You can lock that dog in a room and be like, bye-bye.
Yeah, but you can't put a diaper on the effing dog. You can put a diaper on your baby and leave it in a room.
That's true. It's not the same, though.
You let them both cry in their crate or crib.
I don't let her cry.
You should.
That's why I don't.
That's a problem.
I know.
Say, who's the parent here?
Thanks for your parenting advice. This is Michael Rosemond inside of your parenting skills.
Yeah. I'll tell you what not to do, because I saw my parent. Well, I know what not to do. I know, like, give your kids love. Tell them they love you.
I do that all the time.
Well, she's an infant, so she's not going to really understand.
She understands. You know, they say before, too, there is unconscious memory. So you're going to remember, like, if somebody burns you all the time, you're going to remember that even if it's before you're two, right? It's this underconscious.
Wow.
So the same thing with love. I mean, I tell her I love her all the time, and I hug her and I kiss her. I don't, you know, I think my parents could have done more
I don't
of
remember that.
That
when I was 2 years old being
I'm
loved.
I'm sad.
Well, no, I remember. Look, we don't need to get in there, but my father was like, you know, it's a different upbringing. Like,
do you have sisters and brothers?
Yeah, my mom was married before she married my dad, and they had two kids, but abusive husband, divorced him, married then my dad, had my brother and I. They lasted 27 years. They got divorced. My dad had two more kids with his next wife, which now they just got divorced. My sister's in her fourth marriage. We've talked about this. You and I haven't, but...
That's a lot of...
It's a lot of dysfunction around me, and people go, why are you single? I mean, like, when girls go out there, my dad was like, should I go out with... First of all, I don't talk...
Do you date
girls.
Women like that?
No.
Oh my God, like, you only date girls who talk like this? Is this your girl voice?
But girls are always like, why are you single? You're 46. I'm like, have you met my parents or my family? I have been sort of close. I've been in long relationships, but I have that, you know, I think I have maybe abandonment. I want some issues. I want someone there for me that I go, look, I always throw everything
out
on the
table. You want a mommy. That's what most guys want.
No.
And that's why when you have.
I'm a good dude. Like,
No, it's instinctive. You want a girl, a woman to take care of you and love you unconditionally.
Yeah.
That's why we're actors. We want unconditional love.
Yeah. Is your boyfriend an actor?
I'm not talking about it in my personal life.
Are you not?
No, I don't.
Really?
No, not at all.
Oh, I like this, because now we just got deep. We suddenly just got.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. you don't really talk about your personal life.
No, I don't.
At all. That's okay.
No.
Well, you're talking about your family.
I can talk about my mom and dad. I mean,
your brothers and sisters?
I have a brother. I love him. We weren't close as children, which is weird because we were kind of in isolation together, but we kind of did our own thing. But when I started doing a web series with him, I was flying him out monthly. And it was actually the longest time that we did, like, just a little it was called Co-op to Do. We played video games together.
Right.
And we grew really close together. So video games really brought us together, and we actually kind of held us together as children. So that's kind of the thing. We aren't playing a video game together right now. That just occurred to
me. What were you playing growing up?
We played
Atari.
No, we had an Atari. We played Tank. I mean, we had
old school Missile Command. I'll beat your ass in Missile Command.
I mean, I'm not going to compete with you.
But you're good at all those really hard ones that are fast. You have, like, you're multitasking 50 things. Right?
I used to be good at those. I've lost my ability.
What was your game?
My game was more role-playing games. I like to do, like, I like to immerse myself in a different world and just walk around as me. Like, World of Warcraft was the big one that I got addicted to. And then out of that, I created a web show.
Right.
Called The Guild. So I turned my addiction
into... 6 years that was on, right?
Yeah, 6 seasons. So...
Do you have a little cold?
A little bit.
Yeah, I have a little sinusy thing going on. So if you ever hear a... it's either Felicia or myself.
Yeah, you got...
Or Rob.
Who snotted that?
Yeah, who snotted that? But did your mother, you remember being loved and hugged and I love you so much?
No, she was not demonstrative. She was very much like, what you achieve is going to be, and I don't think this is, And I think this is a big part of parenting that I'm really, really careful about now, is that I don't want my love to be contingent upon her achievement. I don't think it was a deliberate thing, but I think when I was impressive at something, my mom gave me more love.
Right.
So that my whole self-worth was dependent on how I'm doing, what I'm doing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Isn't that something? Absolutely.
And I think a lot of actors are raised
Aren't
like
I good?
That.
Aren't yeah. I good? Look did at you me. Like what I did?
Exactly.
Validation
exactly.
means like success. And that is so not true. But when it's embedded in your system mm-hmm. for many, many years, like, oh, I was good in that. And I just keep hearing, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good.
That's
and I
who
need
I am.
That.
Unless,
it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, my therapist said it's like kind of like the colander effect. You know, like a colander where you put spaghetti in and the water goes right through it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you're great and then it goes right through
you're
you.
Never, yeah, you're never really satisfied
never
or fulfilled.
Satisfied,
so that's
yeah.
what I kind of discovered when I was writing my memoir that was kind of plaguing me. And so now I kind of try not to put my self-worth in others' hands in that way. And it's very hard, especially as an actor, because you're constantly doing that to get jobs or as a creator. But I feel like at least I'm aware of it, so it's a little bit more functional.
How do you do that? How do you fix that? How do you because I'm sure there's many listeners out there who always want everyone's approval. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I did this. Aren't I great? I got a promotion at work. Aren't I fantastic? It's like it's how you feel what's important. It's important mm-hmm. that your self-worth.
Yeah.
And that's hard to sort of understand and achieve. It's easier to say, I don't care what other people think.
Yeah.
And you always do.
No, you do.
So how do you just have a balance? How do you make things better?
I mean, I try to have things in my life that I'm doing not for other people. Like I'm studying Spanish for fun. There's
Bienvenidos a los Estados Unidos.
Wow, very good.
Yo tengo grande cabeza, ¿sí?
Yeah. You have a big head too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just learning Spanish now. And I'm not good at it, but I'm doing it for myself. And there's no like ulterior motive there, because I kind of turned every single one of my hobbies into a career, which was great for a while. And then I'm just like, I'm still giving everybody else everything. So I try to do that. And then also having a baby, really, I mean, it really did change me profoundly in that I know that I have somebody who will love me unconditionally and I will love her unconditionally. And so when I get rejected by other things, I'm like, well, I got to keep going for her. I can't get depressed because of other people not liking me, because she is there. She needs me. So it's also living. I did a sci-fi movie called Red Werewolf Hunter many Ooh. Years ago. Yeah, it was great. And there was a woman named Roseberry on there.
Roseberry. Okay. Roseberry would be cool.
Roseberry is a good name.
You know Roseberry?
Yeah, she's good. That's your new dog's name. And she said, well, it was such a relief to have children because I didn't have to care about myself the most anymore. And I that really stuck with me for years. And then when I finally had a baby, I was like, oh, great. I don't have to put myself first all the time.
How old's the baby?
She's 20 months.
20 months. So that's 4, 8, 12,
She'll
16,
She'll be
five.
Two in a little bit.
20 months?
Yeah, one and a half.
Why do people do that?
Because
why do people always go, oh, she's 38
well,
weeks.
After two, you go to years.
Why not just go, she's a year and a half?
For like doctor's visits and stuff. And
yeah, but also because they change every month. There's such a difference between month 16 and month 20.
Believe me,
I thought it was stupid at first.
Oh, you did too. You agreed with me. You're like,
oh, the worst is pregnancy, where they're like, you got an apple in you. You got a banana. You got a big old pineapple. I'm like, I hate this analogy. Just tell me how long the thing is.
Well, and it starts at conception too, the actual 9 months. So
exactly. So you're really 10 months like pregnant.
Yeah.
It's awful.
I'm 600 months today. I just want everybody to know that.
Oh, happy birthday.
What would that be? What would 12 times 46 be?
12 times 46 is...
46 times...
552 months.
Oh, it wasn't far off. I said 600 months.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, not bad.
You're savant.
I just had to ignore you guys and think for a second.
That was good, though.
You're very quick. Thanks. I don't know if I'm that quick. You know, they say wit's a part of intellect.
Anyway, I want to find you the right mate. To settle
you
into yourself.
No, you said mate. You looked at me like it could be a guy or a girl. You don't
know
what I'm into.
I mean,
is that what you were
insinuating? I wanted to be open. I wanted to be open for you.
Well, I'm glad you're open, especially with this day and age. I do like women. I've
Great.
Never been with a man. I think I'm...
You're not counting it out, though?
No, I'm counting it out.
Oh, okay.
However...
But you have bromance. You got bromance.
I have a lot of gay friends, and I have a lot of. There's a lot of men that I look at, and I go, I can't stop staring at. I'm like, fuck, Chris Hemsworth.
There you go.
I'm like, God, you.
I touched him. He's very.
I've touched him. Well, I mean, you know, we shook hands and hugged.
I touched his bicep at a party.
Oh my God, he is not only beautiful and a good actor and handsome, but he's a sweetheart.
Very
just
kind.
Like, oh my God!
Just emanates
but you
kindness.
Hope he does something wrong. You hope that one, just something.
His poops are
you
even pretty.
It's like his poops are like little perfect bananas, mm-hmm. ripe bananas.
Yeah, and they smell like bananas. That's gross, actually. I don't want a banana poop.
What would you want your poop to smell like?
I would love juicy fruit.
It's gonna move ya. Felicia Day's poop on to ya. Wow, we got into poop. I like poop.
All roads with Felicia lead to poop.
Dude, I like that. You're a woman who, you know, you don't like to talk about your personal life, but you will talk about poop. And I dig that.
You know what? Everybody poops. That's universal.
Yeah, Rob?
Yeah, everyone poops.
Is that an R.E.M. song?
Or is it everybody poops.
So you're with me on that one. That's good.
Yeah.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
So your parents didn't really give that thing. Your baby now, that's the unconditional love. You're trying to get out of that
but
whole,
my dad,
I need approval thing. I know he's working all the
time. No. He was in school. He was training to be a doctor, so he was away a lot. But now he's all over this. He's coming
good
over.
Granddad?
Yes. It's like somehow, for 6 years he didn't come visit. Suddenly he's here 8 times.
Has he ever looked in you in the eye and just said, Felicia, yeah, I just want to tell you how proud I am of you, sweetheart?
Yes, he has.
When was that?
That was probably in the last 10 years.
Really?
So it was so as an adult.
See, I'm telling you, this is what the fucked up thing is.
We need to do this
now.
To children. We need to do it.
Rob didn't hear this stuff, did you, Rob?
Did you hear that?
Probably
but
not.
I think it was a parenting thing. It was a generational thing.
Generational thing. Get off your high horse.
I don't
horse
think
generation.
It would have meant the same thing, though, to a 12-year-old.
Well, my dad, look,
I think it would.
Yes, it does.
I think unconditional love is something that we all need in our lives.
If my dad, when I said, hey, Dad, I scored 3 goals in that hockey game,
yeah,
instead of saying it was a weak goalie, he could have just said...
He said he was a weak goalie?
Yeah. He could have said, hey, good job, son.
But I bet his dad never told him he loved him either.
No.
Right?
Didn't. So, but I'm learning
and
from that.
And it's this gender role. It's gender role.
But you learn. Like, his dad didn't do it, so he should learn from it. But I think he's finally learning that.
But was there an atmosphere back then to learn? I'm not saying that they...
Maybe not.
There was not a cultural acceptability of men expressing feelings like that.
I felt that, you know, for many years. I feel like I'm the one person in my family, in a family that wasn't that affectionate, except for mm-hmm. my mom. She's like, you know that movie, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Yeah.
She's like the crazy one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's all over the place. She'll hug everybody and do everything. And I hug people, and I think I get some of that from her. But I was the one who, my grandfather was very, my dad's dad, he was always really, you know, he's funny and nice, but he, you know, no hugs, no
very
I love you.
Puritanical.
And I would, yeah, before I left, I'd give him a big hug. He'd go, all right. And I go, Irv, I love you. And he goes, okay, Mike, okay.
Oh,
and
then I go, barely uncomfortable.
I go, Irv, I just said I love you. He's like, all right. I go, your grandson, just come on, why are we doing this? Why are we?
See?
And then I finally got him to go, I go, I want you to say it. I'm not leaving till you say it. And
wow.
He goes, we love you. No, I know we. I'm talking about you. And he goes, I love you, Mike. And from that moment on, I kept pushing it.
Aww.
And opened the door. And
that's
he started
incredible.
Doing it. And everybody started doing it. So if you can sort of just be that person, that martyr, if you will.
Yeah. No, I started saying it to my mom on the phone many years ago. And now we say it to each other.
See,
we never said it as a children. But it really
took initiative.
But it was because of the way that she was. I'm sure that she was never raised to say I love you to her relatives. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So you could see the tendrils of...
Tendrils. I like
tendrils.
That word. I haven't heard that word in a while. Probably ever.
To tentacles.
Yeah. You almost went to Juilliard.
I almost did. I got into the pre-program, but we had no money. We couldn't move to New York. We're very poor people from Alabama.
Really?
So I couldn't go. But it's okay. I got a full scholarship to UT in violin.
University of Texas?
Yeah. And
well, that could have been Tennessee.
No, Texas, Austin.
Okay.
And I went there and I got a degree in mathematics and violin. And I
did you pay for your own school?
Did I what?
Did you pay for your own school?
No, it was all free.
All scholarship.
All scholarship. I got a violin scholarship the first year, and then I got a merit scholarship after that. So I studied math.
And you did a lot of theater. I mean, you started theater young. You were in To Kill a Mockingbird when you were a kid.
I was in a lot of theater, and that's why I thought, hey, I'll just go to Hollywood, because that was fun, not knowing anything.
So what? How old were you when you went to Hollywood?
I would just turn 20. So, you know, I got my degree.
And what were you going there for?
Just to be famous.
So are you just said something that I felt was just off the cuff and honest.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of actors are full of shit, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I want to work. I want to be a working actor. No. I just want to do theater, and I want to do all these things. And I'm like, okay, great. There are some of those. I have a friend, John Glover. There's certain actors who just love doing
the
theater.
Work.
First of all, I don't like working that much. I like to work, but come on. Who wants to work too much? And they can't stop working, and it makes me think there's something wrong with you when you have to work all the fucking time because you don't want to deal with yourself. And that's what I felt like. I'm always keeping busy. And in the last year, I forced myself to go, hey, let's sit with yourself for a minute. Let's deal with this guy. I don't want to be 80 and not know myself.
That's great.
So I'm going to take the next 40 years.
That's amazing.
To get to know me.
You're like Montaigne.
What?
You're like Montaigne.
What's that?
He's an essayist from the 16th century.
I'm
reading a book on him right now.
I know of him. I didn't read him.
I'm just reading a book. I picked it up at Powell's last week about Montaigne. And I had read his essays in college, and I kept reading them every 5 years or whatever because they're so incredible, because it really makes history transparent. Like, you just feel like, oh, I could have lived back then. We're all the same no matter where we're living. It's just the circumstances are different. And there's a book about him, and he basically had a life crisis. He almost died. And after that, he kind of just dropped everything and just decided to be introspective and know himself. You should read this book.
You know what's funny is I didn't almost die, but I got sick.
What happened?
For a little while. Well, I just got sick. I'm not gonna talk about it. It's not a big deal. It's done. It's fine.
But you're better now.
Everything's fine. It happens. It's something that everybody's had in their life.
Matthew Perry has been in the hospital for 3 months.
But it wasn't alcohol or drugs or anything. I'm not into that. I don't have any addictions.
Judgment.
There's no judgment here. I'm just being honest. I'm trying to be honest without giving too much. But I was sick for a while, for like 6 months, where I was just like, what happened? Well, I'll just tell you. So it was pretty much like exhaustion. It was exhaustion
terrible.
From overdoing. That's why in the beginning I kind of told you, like, I was doing too much. I was doing stand-up comedy at all the big nightclubs in front of 500 people with
Jesus.
Joe Rogan and all these guys. I'd never
too
done
much.
It. 50 shows in five
That's
months.
That's really stressful.
I'm doing live music. I'd never done it before. Freaking myself out. Still acting. I was on a show. All these things kind of combined with the podcast. And too much.
Too much.
And I just didn't give myself a rest. And I just – so it made me sort of get an idea, like, hey, dude, like, what's important here? The only thing important here is you.
Yeah.
The only thing important here is being healthy.
Your health and the people who love you.
It doesn't matter saying, oh, I did this, or oh, I did that, or oh, you know, we went to this.
No.
It doesn't – none of this – it's all superficial.
I go to parties and people are like, what are you doing lately? I'm like, well, you know, I have a baby and I've been writing. And then they get this glazed look in their eye like, I'm not important enough to talk to. And then they turn around and I'm like, I don't care anymore. I'm not – I don't need like, hey, my age is doing this. I don't need that.
You start to go, I don't care anymore. So, Michael, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And you get caught up in it. I'm doing this and I just wrote this. And I'm like, well, I don't care.
No, I don't need my resume on my sleeve at a party to make me interesting to you. You're not even interesting to me.
Thank you. And by the way, you're more interesting to me. I mean, because you're more like, hey, I want to go home and chill or do something laid back.
Yeah.
I don't go out. But anyway.
I don't go out either. Anyway, I'm glad you're better, and I'm glad you're prioritizing your life better.
Yeah, I think it just comes a time where you got to say, hey, man, what's important? You know, it's also the friends you keep. I think everybody has friends out there. Look, if they're bringing you down, you have friends like that who are always sad no matter what. You're like, hey, let's go to a concert. It's just like I can't deal with negativity in my life.
Yeah.
And we all do that. We all get a little negative. But my time is valuable or invaluable, really.
Yes.
So I try to hang out with people that just make me happy.
Agree. Life is too short. You got to be supported, and you want to be, and you want the people to be there who will pick you up at the airport on a dime. You know what
I'm
saying?
I disagree with that.
What?
Well, let me talk.
Who could
about
you call?
That.
Who could you call at like 2 a.m.? Those are the people you got to invest in. This guy?
No way. Rob would never pick me up from the airport.
Would you
pick me up from the airport?
No, you
would. If you had an emergency, do you have an emergency contact on like your pet form? Who would be your emergency contact?
My brother or my assistant Jessica, who's like family.
Okay, there you go.
Those guys, my friend Tom and Dean. I have great people. I always surround myself with great people.
But that's what I'm saying. You can only have 5 best friends. You can have 25 acquaintances, and you can have 125 people you know, and that's it.
Who's made up this rule?
It's a scientific study. Look it up, Rob.
You can only have, hang on. You can have five people you
intimate
love.
Intimate people in your life. Yes.
Besides your family.
I don't know. I would say five beside your family.
Okay, five, and then 25 acquaintances.
Acquaintances.
And then 125 people you know.
Yeah, exactly. But then other than that, your brain really can't comprehend. You can't care about that many more people. You can't invest in that many relationships
and you do,
at
it's
once.
It's dangerous.
It's
unhealthy.
You're too thin.
I think that's what I was doing for a long time. I always want to make people happy. I think that's what I was always doing.
Yeah, that's
so
thing.
Now I,
it's a
you
symptom
know.
Of your relationship with your mother.
Wow, we just went there. It is. I think so. I think it is a symptom. But I look, I'm improving. You're always working on yourself. So
I love the fact that you're so aware. Are you working with therapists?
Yeah, I go to a therapist and we talk about all this stuff. And I talk about how to just think more positively, how to be more patient, how to, before you go to bed at night, instead of going, oh my God, I got this tomorrow, I got this. Mm-hmm. It just puts you in a bad place before you go to bed.
Yeah.
So why not think about the good shit in your life or the good things you did today, or picture someone that makes you happy in your head until you fall asleep, and then you wake up in a better mood.
Yeah.
Things like that, little things that take an hour a day to go, all right, what's bothering me?
Yeah.
Take that hour, but not doing the whole day of overthinking things.
No, it's true. I got so incredibly tired this last, cause I did two conventions, two TV shows back to back, not one day off. And then we got colds, but I did really good work. Even though my face probably looked terrible, I was like, that all that neurosis, I was too tired to be neurotic. I just was like, let's just show up and do the work and feel what I need to feel. And it was actually really liberating. Because I feel like there was something in the way, this sort of like meta brain is always on, kind of like looking and planning and looking for and if you're in the present, it's mindfulness, right?
Yeah.
If you're always in the future or in the past, you're never going to be in the present.
You're pissing on the present.
Exactly.
You got if you stand up, I always say my therapist goes, you got one foot in the past, the left foot, the right foot in the future. Mm-hmm. And he points to his dick and goes, and you're pissing on the present. He doesn't point to his dick.
That's pretty great.
Points to the ground, but it's kind of a cool thing.
Exactly.
It's kind of a
that's
cool
thing. That's a cool one. That's a very.
You're pissing on the present. He's not my therapist.
That's a really good Brett. That's a pretty good therapist.
So anyway, Michael, your mother's a nut. You're going to be a nut. The apple didn't fall far from the tree, Michael.
Did you find the article?
I did. I closed it because I thought we were.
Why did you close it?
Oh my
we had
God.
Moved on.
Rob, you had one task. What are you doing over there with your
limits? The limits of friendship.
Counting.
In the New Yorker. Is it Robin Dunbar?
I mean, probably.
University of Oxford anthropologist.
Yes. Okay. Great. That was the study that came out.
Yep.
Five people, right?
I believe you.
Okay.
I believe you, but I like the facts. Because if you're like 100 people off on the no thing and you're like 10 people off on the love, I might weed some people out that I don't need to. All of a sudden, a year later, I'm like, Felicia was wrong. I could have kept those 10 people.
I'm saying I have like five people in my, my
who
iPhone favorites. I'm not going to list the people who are in my favorites, but I do have like five friends, and then I have four family members. And then I have my agent and my manager just because I'm like, I don't want to have to dig through this to get to those people. They're not my favorites, but.
Do you think you ever want to get married? Is that personal again?
I don't really believe in the institution of marriage. So, that's pretty neutral. No, only for tax purposes.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you a loyal person?
Yeah.
Do you believe in like sticking with one person?
You should be where you are until you're happy.
What if you're really happy and you want to be happier for a night?
Happier for a night? Oh, you just want to skip? Well, if you have an agreement about that, it's fine.
Have you ever had an agreement?
No.
You wouldn't deal with that shit.
I'm not
gonna. You're not going and looking for guys that are just looking for many girls.
I don't think girls do that, do they? As much?
Girls? I don't know. Do they?
I don't know.
I don't either. It's just kind of random.
I don't want to generalize a whole gender based on their sexual activity.
Did you figure it out?
Yeah, I got these numbers.
Okay, can you get the numbers?
Was she right? First of all, was she right?
I'm going to read this.
All right.
It says 150 is the number of people we call casual friends.
Okay, that's 25 you were off. That could have fucked up a couple friends of mine.
The next step down is there's 50 number of people you call close friends.
All right, 50. See, we got even more. We got more wiggle room here.
Then there's a circle of 15 that you can turn to for sympathy. And then the most intimate number is 5.
Thank
your
you.
Close
okay,
support
you got
group.
One fucking number.
But this is even better. We have another classification.
We have intimate 15. That's good. You could still be, 15. You
but that probably includes family, doesn't it? That's got to include family.
I mean, who makes this shit up?
Because honestly, I have family who are not even in the 150.
How about hang out with people you love, whether it's 4 to 8?
But this is the capacity of the brain. This is basically a tribe.
This might be the capacity of your brain.
A tribe is 150 people. We should only be living in 150.
Is that what a tribe is?
I don't know. I just made it up.
Is a tribe 150 people? Felicia is throwing these Juilliard quotes that she has.
Modern is 148.4.
You're pretty close.
Modern hunter-gatherer society.
Okay, great. See, that is a reflective of that study, right?
Did you ever do 23andMe?
I did.
What are you?
I have a lot of Neanderthal.
I could see that. No, that's not true. I'm a lot of Ashkenazi.
It's just
Jew,
the red hair.
I don't even know. I love the red hair, by the way.
Thank you.
And it's your real hair, right?
It is. It's a little bit red. I make it poppier.
Were you one of those redheads who were like, by the way, in Australia, they call them rangers.
I'm more of like an auburn hair. My hair was brown with a lot of red in it. And then I make it redder. So I wasn't like a ginger when I was growing
up. But did you hate like, oh my God, I have red hair. Did you hate like that feeling that?
No.
Did you feel that pressure of being like, you know?
No, I didn't. I wasn't exposed to anybody judging me for red.
Yeah, who would judge you? But I don't know what it is. I don't even think I even liked. I didn't care. It's not that I didn't like them, but I think that when I got older, I just started liking different things. Like I was like, wow, I really love red hair. It's beautiful. I just started seeing the beautiful and everything.
Did you like bully people because they had red hair?
I never bullied people. I might have bullied one guy.
Who?
But then he bullied. Then I got bullied. Here's the thing. I grew very early, but then I stopped growing until after high school. So I was the shortest kid in my high school, and I was picked on and bullied. But early on, when I was like in fifth grade, I didn't bully someone, but there's this one.
I mean, you can be honest about it if you bullied somebody.
Well, I went over his house and I knocked on his door and told his mom to get his ass outside so I could beat him up. And he was bigger than me.
Why?
Because he called me a little shit. And then so I guess that's not bullying.
That's not bullying. That's kind of like.
Yeah, but I was like the little guy who's like going, I'm going to kick your fucking ass, buddy.
So you kind of were a little shit.
I was a little shit.
Did you beat him up? What does mom do?
I got
do?
Scraps when I was young. But then after sixth grade, I didn't grow and I became like that little kid that was now picked on.
Oh. Did you harass other people because of who they were or what they look like? I think that's my definition of bullying.
No. Well, you know what? I think everyone goes through. Look, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I'm a perfect kid. But there's certainly, you know, you're in high school or whatever and you're like, oh my God, look at that guy's shoes. Oh my God, what is that guy? What's that lump of coal?
Isn't that interesting how our instinct as children is to shame other people who are different?
I'm telling you, it's like I was always a pretty good kid because my parents wouldn't tolerate it. They wouldn't tolerate racism. They wouldn't tolerate, you know, a lot of that bullshit. But did I ever say, oh my God, like sort of make, you know, judge someone? Of course. You've judged people.
Of course.
You probably judged the whole Emmy night last night.
You know what? I don't like watching the ceremonies because I don't enjoy it. And then I start comparing myself to people, but I do look at all the pretty dresses because I'm an asshole like that.
Really?
And Michelle Dockery had the most beautiful dress I've ever seen. She was the one from Downton Abbey. She had the most beautiful dress on I've ever seen in my life. And she looked so pretty. I was like, you know what? That's really, I'm pleased. I saw some beauty tonight.
What do you think about accolades and awards and all that stuff?
I mean, I feel like they're pretty arbitrary.
Do you like getting awards? Do you feel good?
It made me feel good. I think it used to make me feel like, oh, wow, I made it. But now if I got awards, I think I would just, I think I look more of it a long game, you know, like, oh, good. I worked really hard. I'm glad. But what's next?
Didn't you get an award for?
I got a bunch of awards for my web show. Well, I got a couple.
The horror thing, Dr. Horrible sing-along blog.
That's true. We got an Emmy for that. It was the first online Emmy. I mean, that wasn't mine, but I was part of it.
The
it was really exciting. The Perfect Bear. Oh, did I get an award for that?
Voice Actor Awards and Best Female Vocal Performance and a guest for her role as Pear Butter in the episode.
Oh, Pear Butter, yeah. I was. I was a pony. I played a My Little Pony.
How did
you
sound? What was your voice like?
I was a little bit of a southerner, and I sang, "You're in my head like a catchy song." I got to sing a song, and then she's dead.
How many video games have you done, voices?
I've done probably a dozen. I used to do a lot more. But I haven't done any.
I used to do a lot.
Yeah, I don't do any more as much. I don't know.
I just did a Lego one. I don't know if I was supposed to say that.
Oh.
Oh, well.
Maybe cut it out.
I'm not cutting it out. We'll leave it. You know, they don't pay me enough to shut up.
I know.
About it.
Video games do not.
You've done so many voices. You still have a YouTube channel?
I do not.
You don't, but you did for a while.
I did. I had a company that was funded by YouTube, and I did that for 2 years with YouTube, and then I sold the company to Legendary, and then
Legendary bought it. Is that was that a pretty lucrative deal?
Are you rich?
I'm not.
I always like to ask these questions because I know people at home are going, what do actors make? What do they make? What is this? And I feel like I'm that guy. I just want
to
know.
There are some people who sold companies and they don't have to work anymore. That is not me.
So you,
but,
you know,
I put my company in a place where I thought it was safe and that I could continue it. And I was there for several years. And then I realized that I could not be... I could not do everything. I kind of got to the point where you may have that, especially when I had the baby, I was like, something's got to give. And I derive my most, the most pleasure and satisfaction from the things I create. And so I was like, well, I can create and be a mom, or I can have a company and be a mom. I cannot do all three. I have to be a mom because I gave birth. and I want to. And so I had to let it go. And it was really hard to leave, but I know that it was the best thing for me. As a person, I miss it sometimes. I definitely miss making all the videos and coming up with new show ideas and being able to invite people like you on to play games that people might not know about. But I definitely have been more productive creatively since I left. And that's made me a lot happier and just less stressed all the time. I had like 30 employees at one point and it was just too much.
Why do you think you have such a following? Why do people, I know this is a tough question, but why do people like you? What attracts them to you and what? Because you have a big following and you have, you do so many things. But what is it do you think that your gift is that you're able to convey?
You can do it yourself. I think people are attracted because I made everything myself. I kind of made my reputation because I started shooting things in my garage with my friend and it made it attainable. Success, you don't have to have the gatekeepers in the way of your success or satisfaction. I think that's more so. Because success is in other people's hands. That's also putting yourself in other people's hands as far as your happiness goes. I think you have the capability to make things and derive satisfaction from them. And I hope that that's what I try to convey that a lot in what I do.
And I'll add to that. Yeah. I think that you look like you're having fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's work, but it's also like people look like she's not only doing it herself, but she's having fun.
Yeah, I do what I love. I do. And it's definitely the harder way to go. And I don't, you know, think that, I don't know. It's certainly, I had a very unusual upbringing and I tried to fit myself in the Hollywood world for a very long time. And I was not capable of the success that I wanted. And
do you still want a certain success? Do you still want to be like a major motion picture star?
Man, I was just thinking about that the last couple of days. I'm like, I'm not sure exactly what I want anymore. Like, I've achieved a lot. I don't know if I'd be super happy if I was on like a series every day. I don't know if I'd be super happy running my own show. I don't know. I was actually thinking of hiring a career coach. I'm not kidding. Because I really feel like I need
guidance.
I think
I need guidance.
I'll let you know.
I don't think Rob does.
Rob, you're fine. You know exactly what you want to do with your
life.
Rob's
a go-getter. He's young. He works hard. We've turned this podcast into a success story, and we're just moving up.
That's great.
And he's been great. And it's like nice to see that he knows. And I think I thought I knew what I wanted. I think things just change. Like I go, I want to be an actor. I want to be an actor. Wait a minute. I want to write. I want to direct. You know what? I'm gonna do stand-up.
Yeah.
And then it became like, oh my God, there's all this stuff because I think I have a short attention span and I get bored pretty easily.
Yeah. Well, you gotta try it, unless you try something, you don't know if you're gonna like it. Exactly. You gotta try it. What if you never tried it and you're like, oh my God, I wish I'd been doing that? Because you wanna find the thing that's work, but it doesn't feel like work as much.
Yeah.
You wanna find the thing that you enjoy working on. Like, what is the day to day that you wanna spend? And that's, I think, I still don't know.
I think that's sound advice though. That's what has purpose? What gives you purpose? What do you wake up going, this is what I want. I'm drawn to this. Even if I do all these other things, what's the one thing I'm really drawn to?
Yeah. And when you lived your whole life, like living externally, like, oh my God, it's other people's validation that motivates me. When you get rid of that, you're like, what is left?
I think, you know, you and I have the same.
I think it's very common with actors because basically actors get into it to be somebody else to make other people happy.
Sometimes I felt like I was being someone else to make me happy.
Well, there you go.
It's kind of sad, but sometimes I felt like, you know, oh, I'm accepted when I do that. They like me. I'm good.
But then that's still other people.
That's still other people. You're right.
Do you have a narcissistic mother?
Oh, my God.
Have you read, there's a great book called Trapped in the Mirror about children raised with narcissistic parents, which would be very valuable for you, I think.
Will you email me that?
Yeah, well.
Kayla at KaylaRain326 says.
Are we doing questions now?
Yeah.
Great.
This is the Twitter people out there, the fans. They're amazing, and they always have good questions. So let's hope this one's good. this one's a little boring, Kayla, but thank you for it.
Sorry, Kayla.
Favorite moments from set, current shows, and overall? Just one moment that sticks out like you're like, oh, my God.
Well, you know, I recently returned to Supernatural, spoiler alert, last year. And, you know, the moment that I stepped back on set, I really started crying because I was so happy to be there. And it was amazing because after so many years, I was gone for two and a half seasons.
How many did you do?
I did four. I was on just only two or three to four times a season, but I was on for four seasons.
That's huge.
I know. But I had such a great character. And then I got killed off in season 10 and I came back in season 13. And like the crew was almost all the same. And everybody was there and Jensen gave me this big hug. And I started crying a little bit because it really felt like home. I was home. Yeah, it was a beautiful kind of atmosphere on that set.
How many Supernatural pictures do you sign when you go to conventions?
Probably about half of the pictures are Supernatural.
Hundreds of pictures.
But she's a really I think that character that show doesn't have as many female characters for people to look up to. And Charlie, I think, was one of the longest running ones. And she also had sort of that fan spirit. She was kind of a fangirl in a sense. But then she became a hunter. So she was like sort of a proxy for the audience. And, you know, she's just really authentic. She was a lesbian. And I think she really represented something that the fans really liked. So, I'm really happy to be her and continue to be her, hopefully.
How did they kill her off and bring her back?
It's Supernatural.
No, no, no. I died in a bathtub. So a guy with one arm murdered me in a bathtub.
Oh, great. Way to ruin that for me. I'm on season 8.
Are you kidding? You're never going to get there, dude.
Geek Eclectic, at the Geek Eclectic.
Yeah.
So Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog 2, what's going on with that?
I wish I could say something. I mean, we had our 10th anniversary this summer. I did a panel at Hall H with Joss and Nathan. And
can you tell Joss I said, what's up?
Just say, what's up?
Yeah, I don't know him. But
you don't know him? You don't know Joss?
No.
That's weird.
I like to work with him. He's awesome.
I mean, he's pretty great. He's doing a British show now, I think.
Oh, great.
I know. Just like, forget it.
Do me a favor and please tell him I said hello, will you? Oh, he's a lovely man.
Wow.
Sophie Miller at Zookeeper. How did Felicia feel coming into Buffy the Vampire Slayer towards the end? And does she have any great stories from her time on the show? And was Michelle Geller a biatch?
Wow.
I asked that part.
No. Yeah, really? The biatch part?
Yeah, the biatch part.
Do you think she's a biatch?
No, I don't know. She's always been nice to me. I met her once and she was really nice.
I was friendly with her on set. We weren't really close. Yeah, I mean, she was very busy.
Who's close to the Geller?
Exactly. And also I was like part of this new gaggle of 7 girls who comes in. It's like, how do you care about that? But she was very nice. Everybody on the set was very nice. I came into that show because I auditioned for a different part. I auditioned for the guest star who turned into a demon at the end of the first episode.
Ooh.
And then they were like, can you go out and read these sides? And so I read the sides. And it was evidently for an Asian character that they couldn't cast. They could not find an actor. And it worked the next day.
So you learned the lines?
I learned the whole monologue. And I actually...
What?
I'm so much better off the cuff than I am if I have time to prepare. Like, I should just cold read everything.
You can memorize that fast?
I didn't memorize, but I memorized pretty well. Like, I can memorize
Fuck
really
you.
Fast.
I always envy those people. I sit there and talk to, like, Kristen Bell was on here and Love Hewitt, and they all fucking can memorize everything in my mind. Maybe I'm just older, or maybe it's a muscle. Maybe the more I do it, the easier it is. I just get nervous. Like, I
No,
want
that's what I'm saying. The less I have to think about it, the better.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But still, if it was the day before, it's like, oh, shit.
Oh, no, I start memorizing. Like, what I do, if I have an actual part, I will read the script every day and I will work on it 30 minutes a day. And that way, if I panic when the cameras roll, then I won't forget it as much. I have to step, but I like starting for the final day one. I'm not a crammer. Some people are crammers. Are you a crammer?
I'm a crammer.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Crystal at Crystal Tofu, what's it like to role model to so many?
You don't have to read all of them.
To be a role model. Is that what Crystal? I'm so sorry. Michael can't read.
I almost got through it until you interrupted me. As the queen of nerds and geeks, a role model to the queen. That's what you asked.
I appreciate being. I never set out to be a role model to anything at all. I don't even know what that is. I'm appreciative, and I am proud, and it makes me feel like I need to be careful. Not careful, but be conscientious in the way I present my. I feel like anybody who's a public figure needs to be conscientious. You can't just be, you know, just Joe, just a regular person. I think there is
close.
There's a balance.
Just kidding. I mean, sort of.
I feel like you have a responsibility to represent yourself a little bit more circumspectly. Not that I censor myself a lot, but, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, I got to hate her outfit publicly, because I'm like, well, that's not telling people the right thing. It's kind of like being a mom.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not censoring yourself. It's just being a little bit more careful because you know that it's important. Your behavior is influencing some 15-year-old.
Do you get anxiety?
I used to be I used to be completely paralyzed by anxiety.
Paralyzed. While you're working.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a good auditioner. I'll never get a job auditioning.
Do you sweat? Do you get hives?
No, I have a separation of, I basically float on my body. So I have no agency. So I just kind of go on autopilot and I don't actually have the wherewithal to like be like, stop, this is going badly. Can we just stop? Like, I get so afraid that I like escape my body. And I'm a terrible auditioner. Like, I'm terrible.
If Jessica Chastain went missing, I think you could have her career.
I mean, that would be nice, but I'll never get any jobs. Like, I really actually decided that last year. I'm like, I'm not, I need to find another career because I can't get jobs with auditions. I'm bad.
Well,
and I'm too old for this.
Well, let me give you some advice.
No.
You've been, yeah.
It won't work. I've tried it all.
Well, listen to me for a second.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know how you really got started in this business? Do you know how it all became, how you became successful?
I did it myself.
You did it yourself.
Yeah, I know.
So why can't you write something for yourself? Why can't you do something for yourself?
I've been trying. I've been pitching TV series.
Well, there you go.
Well.
Do you know I do an English accent?
Problem solved. Cool.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah. Did you ever have like freak out moments where you're just having an anxiety attack and everybody knows it and you're just like can't breathe?
Yeah.
And isn't it embarrassing? No.
I mean, it's terrible.
And what do you do? Were you addicted to Xanax? Or?
No, I never took Xanax. I tried.
CBD oil. That's what I've been doing.
Is it good? Do you have anxiety?
Yeah, I love it. The HM company gives me stuff. They're fantastic. And I take their balm for pains. And these droppers to sleep at night. And it really helps. It reduces inflammation, helps me sleep and all that stuff. It really does work because I don't do any drugs or anything either.
Yeah. I you know what I did? I found out I had horrible acid reflux, which exacerbated my anxiety.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you have literally you're burning from the inside out.
You start to think of it and then it just blows up.
So I don't know what comes. And like last night at 8:30, like I know things about my body, especially things that are trigger foods. And I had the horrible, and the baby has a cold. I had to lay with her for 2 hours to get her to sleep.
And now I do. Thanks.
I know. Okay.
No, you're giving it
right
to
here.
Me.
It's right here. You need to disinfect this. But anyway, I got up and I had a Dove bar. At 8:30
at
night.
You had a bar of soap?
A Dove bar.
It's chocolate.
Chocolate.
Oh, that's a Dove with soap.
There is a Dove bar soap. That's interesting, actually.
I was like, Jesus, would you swear too much?
I ate a whole soap.
Ate a whole bar of soap.
No, but I had a chocolate Dove bar, and I couldn't sleep last night because I had such bad acid reflux. I was like, what are you thinking? And I remember like a little voice in my side of my head was like, don't eat that thing. And I was like, I'm so hungry. I just ate it. And I watched British Baking Show, and then I went to sleep, and I could not sleep.
You know what I do?
What?
I just did this 2 weeks ago. It's 2 weeks to the day. I stopped this. I'm telling you right now, folks, this helped me. I didn't get headaches. I quit caffeine.
Oh, it's good.
I quit coffee.
It's good.
I quit sodas, mostly sugars. This doesn't mean to all of a sudden eat all natural sugars all day. You got to monitor that and only do like 25 grams or whatever. That doesn't have anything.
No this sugar. Is good.
What I'm saying is the Hint waters, they're great. There's nothing in that. But I don't know what it is, but here's the difference. Am I tired a little? Sure. My levels don't go crash.
No, that's what I'm saying. You don't spike.
I'm sort of like, okay, I'm a little tired.
Well, that's decaf. I allow myself decaf.
There's still some.
I know. I kind of got to
But anyway, it helps me and my anxiety. I haven't really had a lot of anxiety being off coffee and stuff like that and just like limiting, like no sodas and all that stuff.
You know, I feel like my whole life transformed when I had the baby and I really, I took like 6 months off before that just to be like, just get your life in order. And I took stand-up class and I did a lot of classes and I actually rediscovered like, okay, what do you want to do with your life? And then I had the baby. And after that, I was like, I'm great. Like 6 months go by, I get my first audition for a pilot. I'm like, I got this. I go in and I have a meltdown. So I'm like, my body doesn't want me to do this anymore.
What do you mean meltdown?
I literally was so paralyzed with fear. My heart was just pounding.
Outside
and when I went in, I was just like, hey.
And they knew it?
They had to have.
Oh God, that happened to me. That happened to me. I went into a meeting about 2 months ago for this series and it was just a meet and greet. The director wanted to meet me and I sat down with the producers.
That would be so nice.
I was fine. I was just sitting there and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden I felt something.
Ugh.
And then I was thinking about it. And then she was talking to me and then I didn't hear what she said.
That's what happens to me. You have a panic. Your body is fleeing in fear. It's flight. What is it? Fight or flight?
Fight or flight. And then the casting director goes, "Awesome, Michael. You got any other questions or anything?" I go, "No. No, I'm good." And I left and I go, "Oh my God." And here's the reality. The reality is if you're having panic attacks, most of the time, no one fucking knows. And so I went back and I go, "Oh my God." And then they called and they said, "Hey, they're interested in it. They really enjoyed the meeting." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, they didn't notice. They didn't see my face because I felt my face blushing.
But then at least you were still yourself. See, when you're in an actor, you are not in touch.
I was faking it.
Yeah, you're not in touch with your artist when you're panicking. You know what I'm saying? So I could go into any general audition, meeting, and I would feel pretty comfortable. I've been pitching, like I said, I've been pitching TV, and I feel totally comfortable being myself. Unfortunately, when I'm anything that is like a word on a page, I don't know what it is. So basically, I got to find something else going on. Or people just need to offer me jobs. Because I'm on Magicians and Supernatural, hopefully, again. Like, I'm on, I do great work there.
What's your Instagram handle?
It's Felicia Day.
What's your email? Or your, not your email.
Email? What email the address? Hell?
What's your Twitter?
Felicia Day.
Really? It's so simple. My name's too long, so it's Michael Rosenbum on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. It didn't fucking fit, so I had to put bum.
You should have
that's
been,
a story
that's
of my life.
Terrible.
Twitter doesn't have enough room for Rosenbaum.
So no, you were something.
Rosenbaum.
You were bad before that.
It was worse, like, but this is worse.
I changed it to Rosenbaum.
Yeah, thank you.
Rosenbaum?
And Instagram.
That's terrible.
It was like Rosenbaum. M. Rosenbaum 11 before that.
M. Rosenbaum 11?
Yeah, it's brutal.
Oh, I remember that. That was
stupid.
Yeah,
I've gotten like 400 more followers with this new bum.
But bum? Why?
I don't know. It doesn't fit.
It's one too little?
One character.
It's one too little.
Can you think email
I'd put
them?
Bum for...
We tried. I tried getting Twitter to
and they
extend
wouldn't do it?
No.
So, Felicia, you have Magicians. You have Supernatural.
Well, I don't know when I'm going to be back on those shows, but I'm assuming.
But you're busy. You have a new baby. You're always working.
I'm working. I have a bunch of writing projects.
Look, I personally think you're incredibly dynamic and talented and warm and honest, except there was one part in the beginning of this whole interview.
What'd I do?
Well, it scared me for a second. I got a little anxiety, like, oh my God, did I upset her?
What?
It was when I said something, tell me about your boyfriend. And you just went, I don't talk about my personal life. It scared me for a second.
Really?
I thought you were going to snap at me.
No, I just am like, I don't.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Am I scary?
No.
I'm so excited. I'm scary. Rob, I'm scary.
Terrifying.
For a second, you just looked at me and I just was like, oh shit, what am I going to ask you next?
That's mostly what he talked about.
Did you notice, Rob?
Yeah.
Were you a little uncomfortable?
Were you uncomfortable too?
No, I wasn't, but I
But you
could
tell,
I was.
I couldn't tell you were uncomfortable.
It's not that you inadvertently made me uncomfortable because I was like, oh my God, what's personal then? But I respect that people don't want to talk about their personal life.
Yeah.
Well, so you did, except for if you're dating anyone, that's what you don't want to talk about.
I don't talk about specifics of my family. I mean, I don't.
Like if I said, how's your sex life? You don't want to answer that.
Why would you ask somebody that?
I didn't ask that.
Did you ask that Glee by that? And that's why he cried?
Yep.
Did you rewind the tape? I didn't say it. I said, if I were to ask that, is that a personal question? You could ask me anything. Rob, how's your sex life?
What's your sex life?
I think that's fine.
What's your sex life?
You still have sex with the baby.
What? With the baby?
No, not with the baby.
Oh my God.
Felicia.
Cut that out, Rob.
Rob, I said, do you still have sex even though you have a baby is what I meant. You know what I meant, you perverts, both of you.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's it. It was a yes or no question.
Jesus, this is so
what about
tense
you? When's,
right now.
No, it's not. It's
when's the last time you had sex, Michael?
Wow. It's been a while. It's since my ex.
You guys have an intimate relationship here. You and Rob.
Well, I wish she was
and
it was Hemsworth.
It was missionary.
Being inappropriate.
It was missionary? That's your favorite?
Oh, God.
I don't want to see. Yeah, that's... Yeah, missionary is kind of boring. Okay, why are we talking about that?
I thought we were wrapping up.
All right.
You were on the wrap.
Always wrap up, Felicia. Always wrap up. Oh, you're listen, this has been a real treat for me. I know we talked about it. You were busy and then we were trying to get you scheduled, but
this worked out perfectly because you were going out of town. I just came back into town. This was the fated interview to be.
Did you have fun today?
I really did.
Did you really?
No, I did.
Are you surprised or was it more fun than you thought you'd
have? I think you're a better interviewer than I thought you would be, but I knew you were going to be good.
Really?
But you're like a professional interviewer.
What do you mean?
You're able to dodge and weave and you share just enough about yourself, but then you get good things about out of people, except for Rob here.
Well, we get a lot out of Rob. Don't worry.
Really? Did you talk more in other podcasts?
No.
Yeah. Rob's got his issues.
What are your issues, Rob?
No, he talks.
What about your? Hey, let's talk about Rob's mom.
My mom?
Yeah.
What about my mom?
Well, oh, I just want to know what your relationship with your mom is like.
I have a good relationship with her now.
Yeah, she got him up, put him on medication when he was young.
She did.
Well, I was more of an introvert.
But that's okay.
So they
What's
thought he was depressed,
that?
So they put him on something.
I would just hang out in my room and yeah, and she thought I was depressed. So
what did you hang out in your room doing though? Were you reading?
Masturbating.
No, I was into
you weren't
like,
masturbating
art.
In high school?
Nah, that wasn't why I was in my room by myself.
That sock's still there.
Wow.
I was into art and
did you do art? Are you a visual artist?
Yeah.
A photographer too, great photographer.
Wow, Rob.
I mean, for like bands and stuff, he shoots amazing.
I started working
that's
with
cool.
bands when I was like 15.
Yeah, that's
so why did she think you were? When did you go on the medication?
Like 15 for like a year.
Did it help?
I didn't notice a difference. No.
So you're not on anything now?
No.
You just occasionally drink.
Very.
You look
seldom.
Really clean cut. Like if I were to see, I'd say, "Oh, that guy's religious or something."
Oh yeah,
because you're wearing a buttoned-up shirt and your hair is slicked back with gel.
My parents are super religious. My dad was almost a priest. He was
going
to seminary school.
Wow.
And left to start a family.
Did you baptize your child?
We did not.
See, I didn't either.
We didn't have a religious wedding either. And
Jesus, Felicia is just getting this interview on. This is a Felicia Day interview inside of Rob Hollis now.
My wife's Jesus. Grandma was blessing us at the... We have a video.
Do you believe in God?
I believe in God, but I don't like organized religion.
Well, how about this? I don't like when people say that. I don't think you mean that. Maybe you do, but let me just... ask you something before
you don't get it wrong.
Well, you said you don't like organized religion. Here's
I'm agnostic,
I'm
not
okay,
atheist.
But I like organized religion if it works for people and it doesn't affect me in a negative way.
I don't think it works for people because of the organized religion part. I think it works because of the message and the meaning behind.
Maybe I'm just misinterpreting because my friend's Christian and his family go to church every week, and he's a great guy, and he doesn't throw it on me. And this is what you should believe.
But does he secretly think that you're going to hell? Or that people who are gay
are going to
hell? Well,
I think most people do. I think most people think I'm going to hell. I don't know. But look, I always say, like, I have a friend that's Mormon. I have a friend who's just on here, Scientologist. If it works for you and I love you and you're great and it doesn't affect me in a negative way, then organized religion works.
I said I don't like organized religion.
Okay.
For me.
I'm not an organized person.
Oh, for you. For you. Okay.
I got confirmed and then that was the last time I went to church.
I played violin at a lot of churches when
I was
bar mitzvahed. Oh, really?
Yeah, but I don't know what I was saying. I memorized it.
Well, isn't that the thing?
No, you learned
to speak
Hebrew. Yeah, this microphone just broke.
Oh,
Felicia
wow.
Day, this has been a real treat.
Can we talk about Rob next time again?
Maybe next time. Will you come back?
Oh, well, yeah.
You're a real good interviewee.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're fun. You're smart. Some of the words I'm going to look up.
What?
There were a couple of words you said that I want to look up.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Along with your quotes and your statistics that
okay,
were a little
listen,
off.
Okay, listen, they were in the rain. They
tendrils,
were in the region.
What were tendrils?
Tendrils. But five.
What's tendrils?
It was 5:15, 50, and 125. Was that it, Rob?
It was 150.
150.
Thank you for allowing me to be 50. Inside of you today, Felicia.
Thank
Day.
You. It was a
and
real
we were
pleasant experience.
And then five.
15 and five, yeah.
This is Inside of You. I hope you enjoyed Felicia Day.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.